from time to time, the Lord blesses me in such a special way. The Lord will do things for me that only someone would do who had great love, abundant love. And when He does, I invariably ask Him, Lord, why did You do that? Have you ever felt that way? The Lord just blesses you in such a way that you can't believe it. It's just more than you can conceive. You can't get a hold of it. And you say to the Lord, Lord, why did You do it? Thank You, Father, but why? And the only answer that I have ever gotten from Him was because I love You. That's the only thing He's ever said, because I love You. The grace of God is given to man because of the love of God. His love causes His grace to flow to all of us, and it's given freely. Now, how is this grace manifested? How does the grace of God appear to us? You and I have never seen Jesus Christ personally. He walked the shores of Galilee and the streets of Jerusalem many, many years ago, almost 2,000 years ago. We've never seen Him in the flesh. The Scripture says that grace was given to us through Jesus Christ, that when He came, He was full of grace and of truth. But I've never seen Him personally. Neither have you. And so how does the grace of God come to us? How do we participate and partake of the grace of God? I believe we partake of that grace in several ways, and if you'll follow with me, I believe you'll be able to see it yourself. Turn with me, please, to the book of the Acts, chapter number 11. Acts chapter 11, reading in verse number 19, beginning there. First of all, we're going to see that the grace of God is manifested to us in forgiveness and in salvation. Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which when they were come to Antioch spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord. Then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church, which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who when he came and had seen the grace of God. Barnabas saw the grace of God. It was something that he could see. What did he see? He saw people who had received forgiveness of their sins, had come to repentance, had believed, and had been born again. The grace of God is manifested to us in the forgiveness of God. When does God forgive us? He forgives us because He loves us. He doesn't forgive us because we've done something special. Is there anybody in here that is worthy or has earned the forgiveness of God? Anyone? Certainly not I. The forgiveness of God is a manifestation of the grace of God. Now listen to me carefully. All right, now turn with me to Acts chapter 14, verse number 3. I want you to see that the grace of God is manifested to us in healing. God's grace is shown plainly to us in healing. The apostles were at Iconium. Long time, therefore, abode they, speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of His grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. Now, God gave testimony or witness to His grace by doing signs and wonders. The manifestation of the grace of God is signs and wonders. And if we read a few verses down, we will see what kind of signs were done in that place to testify to the grace of God. But the multitude of the city was divided, in part held with the Jews and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made both of the Gentiles and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully and to stone them. They were aware of it and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand upright on thy feet." And he leaped and he walked. God gave testimony to the word of his grace. He manifested his grace there by physically healing a man who had never walked. We receive the manifestation of God's grace through forgiveness of sins, through the healing of the body, and we also receive it through deliverance from oppression. Turn with me, please, to 1 Peter chapter number 5. 1 Peter, the 5th chapter, beginning to read in the 8th verse. 1 Peter 5, 8. "Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you." Be sober and be vigilant because we have an adversary. We are to resist him with our faith. And as we resist him, the God of all grace will set us free, make us perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle us. Deliverance from satanic oppression. Deliverance from bad habits. Deliverance from the entanglements and the ensnarements of the devil is a manifestation of the grace of God to the world. Turn with me now, please, to 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll see that a further manifestation of the grace of God is in the calling to ministry, the calling to Christian service. How many times have you heard someone say, perhaps you have said it yourself many, many times, "I believe God has called me to such and such, but I'm not able. I believe God wants me to teach Sunday school. I believe He wants me to play piano. I believe He wants me to sing in the choir. I believe He wants me to pass out tracts and win people to Christ. I believe He wants me to work with young people. I believe He wants me to clean sidewalks and toilets around the church. I believe He wants me to do thus and so in the body of Christ. I believe He's called me to pastor. I believe He's called me to evangelize. I believe God has called me as a special messenger, an apostle of the Lord Jesus Christ. But I cannot do it. It's impossible for me to do it." Who? Me? Paul had that same feeling. 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9. This is many years into his ministry, and this is his declaration. "Who hath saved us," that's God, "who hath saved us, and called us with a holy calling, not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began, but is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ." God has called into the ministry not according to your special talents or ability, not according to your training nor your capacity to do good deeds and to do good works. God calls into the ministry of the gospel according to His own grace. And all you have to do is look around here and know that for a fact. Amen. 1 Timothy chapter number 1. I heard our brother Bruce say this morning that God qualifies the called. And that's exactly what He does. He doesn't call you because you're qualified. He calls you out of His grace, and then He makes you able. 1 Timothy chapter number 1, again, in verse number 12. Paul once again describing himself and his ministerial calling. And I thank Christ Jesus our Lord, who hath enabled me, for that he counted me faithful, putting me into the ministry, who was before a blasphemer and a persecutor and injurious. But I obtained mercy because I did it ignorantly in unbelief. And the grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant. I like that, don't you? The grace of our Lord was exceeding abundant with faith and love, which is in Christ Jesus. This is a faithful saying and worthy of all acceptation, that Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, of whom I am chief. I have known and done every sin there is to do, Paul says. When it comes to talking the dirt and talking about sin, I know how to talk about it. I'm very familiar with it because I spent many years right in the middle of it. But God's grace was exceeding abundant towards me. Not that I was anything special, but God was special in manifesting his grace to me. Howbeit for this cause I obtained mercy, that in me first Jesus Christ might show forth all longsuffering for a pattern to them which should hereafter believe on him to life everlasting. God's grace is manifested to us in the calling and the equipping for Christian service. And now in Hebrews chapter 4, I like this verse. We could spend a great deal more time tonight in this area, but I'm going to take one more verse and gather all of the rest of the needs of the human race into one word and show you that God's grace is manifested to you and to me no matter what your need is. We've said God's grace is manifested in forgiveness. It's manifested in healing. That means you can't earn your forgiveness. You can't earn your healing. It's manifested in deliverance. It manifests itself in the calling and equipping for Christian service. And it manifests itself in every other human need. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse number 16. Let us therefore come. Let's read this one aloud together, would you? Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Have you ever felt like this? Help! I need some help! You ever felt like that? Help! 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 I need help. The Word of God says that there is a throne of grace. It blesses me that the throne of God is called the throne of grace. He is grace. He is. That's his nature, to be gracious. And so when you come into the presence of God, you are coming into the presence of grace itself. And that grace is manifested to help you in your time of need, regardless of what your need is. God's grace is reaching out to you, reaching out to you, reaching out to you, and saying, let me help you, let me help you, let me help you, let me help you, let me help you with your need. That's the way the grace of God is, that we may find the grace there to help us in our time of need. And so, beloved, no matter what your situation tonight, when you raised your hands 30 minutes or so ago and you said, I need help, I didn't ask you what kind of help you needed, for it does not matter what kind of help you need. Whatever your need, God's grace is sufficient for you. If you need to be forgiven, if you need the burden of sin taken off of your life, God's grace will reach to you and do so. If you need healing in your physical body, you'll not get that healing because you're some kind of super spiritual saint. I'll tell you, I have seen folks that weren't too spiritual get their healing much sooner, oftentimes, than folks who are real spiritual. Spirituality's got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with the grace of God. If God is so gracious, though, and if he is grace, and he wants this grace manifested to the world, why don't we receive it? Why is it so hard for us to allow the grace of God to come and minister to us and just drive out whatever is that thing that's troubling us. I'm going to show you four scriptures, one of which just really nailed me when I saw it. And as I began to think about it, other scriptures began to come to mind. The first one is in Hebrews 12. You're right in that area. So just go to the 12th chapter of Hebrews. You know, you've heard me say it, and you've heard others say, that when we are unable to receive the ministry of God in our life, it's not because there's something wrong with God. It's because there's something wrong with us. How many of you believe that? Would you like to find out what's wrong? How many of you would like to know what's wrong? I sure would. I tell you, if the Lord's grace is reaching out to me in all of these areas, I want to know why I don't always partake of it. I want to know why I don't always receive that grace. If it's always His will to forgive, and always His will to heal, and always His will to deliver, and always His will to equip and qualify for the ministry, and always His will to help us, no matter what our problems are, then why don't we receive the grace of God at those times? Hebrews 12 and verse 15. Looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God. Lest any man fail of the grace of God. The grace of God won't fail, but man can fail of the grace of God. We can fail in such a way that God's grace does not reach us. We're going to find out why in a little bit. Now turn with me to Galatians, the 5th chapter, and verse number 4. Galatians 5, 4. Christ is become of no effect unto you. Whosoever of you are justified by the law, ye are fallen from grace. You can be in grace, beloved, and fall. You can fail of the grace of God, and you can fall from the grace of God. We fail and fall in the same way. We'll see that in just a moment. The third thing I want you to see is in 2 Corinthians chapter number 6. 2 Corinthians 6 and 1. Now this is what's wrong with our world, these things that we're looking at right now. It's not that God's grace is not sufficient to reach the world. God's grace is reaching to the world. That's why Jesus came. He came full of grace and truth, and He came as an expression of God's love for the whole world. God wants the whole world to be forgiven of their sins. He wants the whole world to be saved. He wants the entire world to be healed. He wants the entire world to be delivered. He wants the entire world to be helped. That is the will and the desire of God. But men fail of the grace of God, and men fall from the grace of God, and men receive the grace of God in vain. 2 Corinthians 6, 1. We then as workers together with Him beseech you also that ye receive not the grace of God in vain. Now if Paul says that he doesn't want them to receive the grace of God in vain, it tells me it's possible to do so, to receive God's grace but in vain. In other words, in such a way that it not have any benefit, in such a way that it not have any effect. For He saith, I have heard thee in a time accepted, and in the day of salvation have I succored thee. Behold, now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. This is the time to receive the grace of God. This is the time, right now. Tonight is the time for you to allow the grace of God to reach into your life for salvation, for regeneration, for healing, for deliverance, for ministry, and for help. Today Now, if you wait until tomorrow, you've received the grace of God tonight in vain. Because today is the day of salvation. If you understand that, say amen. All right, now turn with me to Galatians chapter number 2. This is the one that really surprised me. Now, I guess I shouldn't say surprised me, but caught my attention would be a better expression. Galatians chapter 1 and verse 21. Last verse in the chapter. Paul speaking. Galatians 2, verse 21. I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. Well, if it's God's, how can I possibly frustrate it? Isn't He the most powerful thing on the earth? No, He really isn't. The most powerful thing on the earth is your will. It is more powerful than the grace of God. You can stop the grace of God from operating in your life. You can frustrate it. You can, if you look that up in the Greek, you will find that the word frustrate means neutralize. You can neutralize God's grace so that it doesn't do us any good. We can frustrate the grace of God so that while the person who is sitting in the next chair is getting healed and delivered and blessed and helped all over the place, we go out the same way we came in. We can neutralize the grace of God. We have that within our own power to either receive the grace of God and the manifestation of it or frustrate it. Neutralize it. I like the word frustrate because I can imagine God. I can imagine Him. I can imagine that feeling because I have felt it at times myself. Haven't you? When you want to help somebody, you know that you have the power within you, the Jesus that lives within you. You know that that power is adequate to help the person. You know that you can, if they'll just receive Jesus, if they'll receive the fullness of the Lord, if they'll receive what God wants to give freely, not because of merit, not because of works, but simply because of the grace of God, just because of who He is. But you're frustrated because the person will not receive. Now let's find out how we frustrate God's grace. Let's just read on here in that verse and on into the third chapter. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by law, then Christ is dead in vain. In other words, if I can get right standing with God and if I can receive the blessings of God by doing the law, then Jesus Christ died for nothing. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you? That ye should not obey the truth before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth crucified among you. In other words, you've been born again, you have received the Lord, you have seen the power of regeneration, but now how did you get bewitched? This only would I learn of you, received ye the Spirit by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Are you so foolish, having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect by the flesh? The Galatians were doing the same thing that a lot of Christians do today. They received Jesus by faith. Simple faith. They didn't try to be good enough. They came just as I am, without one plea, and they gave their lives to God. Jesus came into their hearts and made them a new creature. They were forgiven of their sins, and they became members of the family of God. Then when they wanted to get their bodies healed, they figured that they had to have a formula. Well, let's see if I'll do this, step one and step two and three and four, then I get my healing. Or when they wanted to get set free from demonic oppression, they figured that if they did certain kinds of works, that if they did this and did that, if they said this and didn't say that, that that would get them delivered from their demonic oppression. And they began to get back into a legalism and back into a works Paul says to us, did you receive the Spirit in the first place by the works of the law, or did you receive it by the hearing of faith? Have you suffered so many things in vain, if it yet be in vain? He therefore that ministereth to you the Spirit and worketh miracles among you, doeth he it by the works of the law or by the hearing of faith? Even as Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, know ye therefore that they which are of faith, the same are the children of Abraham. How do you frustrate the grace of God? We frustrate the grace of God by trying to be good enough to merit the benefits of God's grace. We frustrate the works and the grace of God by simply not receiving the blessings of God by faith. When the Lord said, I want to forgive you, I want to heal you, I want to set you free, why is it so hard for us to simply just believe that? When the Lord says, I want your marriage to be healed, when the Lord says, I want your business to prosper, when the Lord says, I want your children to be taught of me, why is it so hard for us to simply believe that? When we believe, we open the channel for the grace of God to flow. When we do not believe, we frustrate the grace of God. Do you hear what I'm saying? If you don't get anything else I said tonight, please hear that. The only thing that will frustrate the grace of God in your life is for you to walk in some other way other than faith. Simple, abiding, trusting faith. Ephesians chapter 2. Turn with me there, please, to a very familiar verse, but I want you to see something here. How many of you are born again? You know that you've been saved by the grace of God. Let me see your hand. If you know that you've been saved by God's grace, then you're familiar with this passage of Scripture. Beginning to read it, verse 4. But God, who is rich in mercy, for his great love wherewith he loved us, even when we were dead in sins, hath quickened us together with Christ. By grace ye are saved. And hath raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. I don't see anywhere in there where it says because we were special. It says when we were dead in our sins, he did it. That in the ages to come he might show the exceeding riches of his what? Grace in his kindness toward us through Christ Jesus. Do you realize that you are an example for eternity of the grace of God? You and I and everyone else who has been snatched from the clutches of sin and translated into the kingdom of God by the grace of God are an example for endless ages that God Almighty would say, if you want to know what I'm like, look at them. Look at him. Look at her. That's my grace right there. You can see it. Now, if you've been born anew, you know what I'm talking about. For by grace, verse 8, for by grace are you saved through faith. By the grace of God, salvation comes. We receive it how? How? By faith. It's according to the grace of God that we are able to be saved. We receive that grace by our faith. Now, in the same way, this is not original. This is perhaps some of you are familiar with this comparison. In this room, we have light tonight. Steve, go to the, turn all the lights off in here. Turn them all off. Young people, behave yourselves. All right, now almost all of the light is off here. I see we have a light around the corner. The room's dark. We need help. We need help, don't we? We need some light. Now, if you believe that there is electric power wired into this building and it's present here tonight, say amen.
Amen.
The power is here, isn't it? The electric power is here in the same way that the grace of God is present. Is that right?
Amen.
But how many of you can see? There's no light. Why? Because the grace of God because the electric power is frustrated. The power that is wired into this building is frustrated. It's of absolutely no benefit to us. Until the man at the controls hits the switch. Go ahead. Now, when he hits the switch, there's light. Now, this is exactly the way it works for us. The grace of God is right here tonight, and the switch is your faith. The grace of God is in this place tonight. And the switch, you've got your hand on it. Now, if you'll hit the switch, there'll be light. But if you won't hit the switch, you will frustrate the power and not receive what God wants to freely give. Faith is the switch that activates the grace, the love, the mercy, and the power of God. It's by grace that we are saved through faith. God's grace is given. We accept it by faith, not by being good enough, but by believing that what He said is true. Hebrews chapter number 3. I preached on this several weeks ago, and I'm not going to read this entire scripture, but I want to bring back to your remembrance something that I said that evening as we shared from Hebrews 3 and Hebrews 4. Remember that the story is quoted here in Hebrews 3, or the story is recounted by the apostle of the children of Israel coming out of Egypt, wandering in the wilderness 40 years, provoking and tempting God because they would not believe God and go into the land of promise. And we see in verse number 12, verse 10, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation and said, they do alway err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. And so I swear in my wrath they shall not enter into my rest. Take heed, brethren, lest there be in any of you an evil heart of unbelief in departing from the living God. But exhort one another daily while it is called today." That's what I'm doing tonight, is exhorting. "Lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin." Now down into verse number 17. "But with whom was he grieved 40 years? Was it not with them that had sinned, whose carcasses fell in the wilderness? And to whom sware he that they should not enter into his rest, but to them that believed not? So we see that they could not enter in because of unbelief. Let us therefore fear, lest a promise being left us of entering into his rest, any of you should seem to come short of it. For unto us was the gospel preached as well as unto them, but the word preached did not profit them, not being mixed with faith in them that heard it. For we which have believed do enter into rest, as he said, as I have sworn in my wrath, if they shall enter into my rest, although the works were finished from the foundation of the world." God says, "I have provided everything you need. I have given and granted because of who I am and what I am. Because of my grace, I have provided all that you need. Let us not leave that laying on the table. The works are finished from the foundation of the world." There's nothing else that God needs to do for us, beloved. He's already done everything which is necessary to be done. There's nothing else that He needs to do. It remains for us to appropriate by faith the things that He provides freely from His grace. Romans chapter 4. I told you I had a lot to say. Romans chapter 4. "What shall we say then? That Abraham our father, as pertaining to the flesh, hath found." What was Abraham's experience? "For if Abraham were justified by works, he hath whereof to glory, but not before God. For what saith the scripture? Abraham believed God, and it was counted unto him for righteousness." Because he had faith towards God, God's grace was manifested to him. Now to him that worketh is the reward reckoned, not reckoned of grace, but of debt. In other words, if a man works, then he deserves what he gets. But to him that worketh not, but believeth on him that justifieth the ungodly, his faith is counted for righteousness. And now look at verse 16. Therefore it is of faith, that it might be by grace, to the end the promise might be sure to all the seed, not that only which is of the law, but to that also which is of the faith of Abraham, who is the father of us all. Now that, I'd like to take that verse one time and just preach a whole message on that verse. But I want you to see briefly what's in that tonight. The blessing of God is appropriated by faith so that it might be by grace, to the end that the promises of God might be sure to all the seed. What does that mean? God loves every man without respect of persons. He loves this man right here. He loves this man right here. He loves this young man right here. He loves this woman right here. He loves this young girl right here. He loves this lady and this fella and this lady over here and this fella and this young boy. God's grace and God's love is reaching out to every single one of you, and it's His desire that every one of you be partakers of the blessing of God. Now, if we had to earn the blessing of God, she would have it, you see, because she's the right kind of person. But he wouldn't have it because he wasn't able to do good enough. And she couldn't have it. See, he could and she couldn't because she wasn't good enough to make it and he was. And God said, that's not the way I'm going to do it. I'm not going to do it on the basis of works. I'm going to do it on the basis of grace. And in order to make my grace work, I'm going to have it operated by faith. And so while this may be a super spiritual lady right here, and this one over here just met Jesus Christ, just heard the gospel for the first time today, she can get just as much from God as this one can. And while this lady over here may have won 40 million souls into the kingdom of God, raised a half a dozen dead people, and this young gentleman right here was wallowing in sin 2 hours ago, he can get his body just as healed as that lady can tonight. Do you understand what I'm saying? To the end that the promise might be sure to all the seed. God wants His blessing for everybody to be healed. He wants it given to everybody. He wants every single person to receive it. And so He has set it up this way, that you cannot earn the blessings of God by your works. You can't earn the blessings of God by your goodness, but you can receive them by your faith. And every one of you that are here tonight and had a need, you expressed it like this. I want you to understand that all God wants you to do is believe Him, and you can have the blessing. It's by faith, so that everybody can have. All right, 2 Timothy, please. Chapter number 2 and verse number 1. 2 Timothy chapter 2 and verse 1. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. I had read that verse many times, just in casual reading of the Word, just reading through the Word. But one day I was sitting in a restaurant, it was at lunchtime, and I had my Bible with me, and I do a lot of Bible reading at lunchtime, not study so much, but just to read, just for the sheer enjoyment of reading. And it's a time I don't have anything else to do except eat, and I don't eat with my eyes, and so I read. And that particular day, the Lord took me into 2 Timothy, and I began to read, and I started right at that verse. And the Holy Spirit just opened that verse up for me, just illuminated it for me. I wanted to shout in the middle of that restaurant. I didn't, but I wanted to. My spirit was rejoicing. Be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. And the Lord just made new in my heart what He had done for me in Jesus Christ. Not because I was anything special, but because He loved me. The grace that is in Jesus Christ. We began an hour or so ago, didn't we? Expressing the fact that grace came by Jesus Christ. I am the recipient, a recipient, I should say, of that grace. I am a walking example, a living testimony to the grace that is in Jesus Christ. And Paul writes to Timothy, and I believe he would say to you and to me, be strong in that grace. What does that mean? Be bold to declare and confess what belongs to you because of the grace of God. Be strong. Refuse to be rolled over by the devil. Refuse to continue to carry the load and the burden of sin. Refuse to allow sickness to remain in your body. Refuse to allow bad habits and evil thoughts and things like that to destroy your testimony for Christ. Refuse to allow discouragement and disappointment and feelings of insecurity and inadequacy to convince you that you cannot fulfill the ministry that you know in your heart that God has called you to do. Be strong in knowing that your help is in the name of the Lord. We sang that this morning, didn't we? Out of Psalm 121. I will look unto the hills from whence cometh my help. How can you say that? Because I'm strong in the grace of God. I know what the grace of God is. I know what grace will do if I'll simply believe the promises of the Lord. My son, be strong in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. I haven't always been strong in the grace of the Lord. But I want you to know I am super, super happy when I do stand strong in the grace of the Lord. And I want you to know I'm super, super miserable when I'm not strong in the grace of the Lord. No matter what the circumstances are, if I'm not strong in God's grace, if I'm not walking tall in the grace of the Lord, everything around me could be coming up roses and I'll feel miserable. You know what I'm talking about? But I'll tell you this, when I'm walking strong in the grace of God, everything around me could be coming up horse manure and it'll still be great. I'll still be filled with joy. You see, our joy ought not to depend upon circumstances. Our joy depends upon our relationship with the Lord. Now, let's turn over to 1 John chapter 4. And I'm skipping through about six or eight scriptures here that the Lord had given me when I was thinking on this subject. I'm doing it on behalf of the hour. 1 John chapter 4. I've asked the Lord from time to time, why, Lord, don't you give me one simple little verse and let me preach 15 or 20 minutes on that? Why do you take us from one end of the Bible to the other and back again and back again and back again? And why do you have us moving through the Word? And I think sometimes that when I preach like that, I wonder sometimes, are we getting anything? Are we learning anything? Are we really taking anything into our spirit? Are we benefiting because of, I feel sometimes we're overeating or overindulging. And I guess you can't overeat on the Word of God. But please understand this. I am extremely sensitive to you. I'm extremely sensitive to what you're receiving and what's happening to you. I'm extremely sensitive to recognize that, and probably too much so, if you want to know the truth, extremely sensitive to the fact that I don't want to overdo when we come together like this. I don't want to put you through something that to make you sit for a long period of time while I stand up here and preach. I would just as soon preach a 20-minute, you know, just a 20-minute message and away we go. But in a 20-minute message, you're not going to get enough to eat. And it would be like eating a salad twice a week or once a week for the rest of your life. You'd be a puny specimen. I'm sensitive, real sensitive. When I am unsure whether you're really receiving what I'm saying, or whether if I'm unsure that it's ministering to you or that you're comprehending it or maybe that I'm going too far. But I don't know what else to do except to follow the leading of what I believe is the Spirit of God and to trust that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. That's really all I know to do. And I'm not, this is not by way of apology. because you came of your own free will. Anybody twist your arm to come here tonight? You came of your own free will, and you knew that you'd have to sit for a while. And so, don't misunderstand me. I'm not apologizing to you. I'm just expressing how it is. I don't want you to think that I'm an insensitive old clod, because I'm not. I recognize the time that we take when we come together like this, and I wouldn't do it if I didn't believe in my heart that it's what God wanted us to do. And so I obey God. You have to determine whether you're obeying God. And it's my sincere desire. I would do anything to get God's goodness into your life. I would do anything. There's no limit other than evil to get God's grace delivered to you. And I remember the day that Paul preached in the book of Acts, and he preached way past midnight. You remember that? And Eutychus fell out of the window because he fell asleep. And I'm sure it was hot. You know, they didn't have air conditioning then, and they were up in a third story, I believe. And Eutychus was a young boy, and it got real late. He started in the morning and preached all day, and it was midnight, and you can well imagine that Eutychus would be tired, a young boy. And he fell out the third story window onto the ground, and he was no doubt there on the window to get some air. And he fell to his death. And Paul went down and laid on top of him and revived him, and he came back to life. And so I have sufficient faith in my God that if you went to sleep while I was preaching, that first of all, you wouldn't fall too far. And secondly, if I would just come to you and come in contact with you some way, that you'd wake right up. Wake right up. First John 4 and verse number 16. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. Now, I think that a high percentage of Christians, and perhaps even a disturbingly high percentage of us who are gathered right here in this room, we know the love of God. But how many of us really believe the love of God? How many of us really have confidence in the fact that God loves us? We have it here. We know it as a fact. And if someone asked you, does God love you? Oh, yes, God loves me. Jesus loves me, this I know. We can go on, we sing that. Oh, God loves me. We probably even shared with others. Oh, God loves you, brother. God loves you, sister. But do we really and truly believe it? Do we have faith in the fact that God really loves us? Now, I'll tell you how we know if we believe the love that God has to us. We will act like we believe it. If you believe that God loves you and you've never been born again, you will ask God for forgiveness of your sins and you will take Jesus Christ as the Lord of your life if you really believe that God loves you. If you're a Christian or if you're believer, unbeliever alike, and your body is not working the way it's supposed to work, and you believe that God loves you, and you believe the grace of Almighty God, then you will act on that love and act on that grace and receive healing for your physical body. If you believe the love of God and the grace of God, and you're in oppression, that your life is bound, you're oppressed, there's a heaviness about you and a confusion about you, and an uneasiness about you, an insecurity, emotional upheaval all the time. If you believe in the love and the grace of God, you will just reach out and allow and receive that grace by faith. It's by grace, through faith, that we are saved, healed, delivered, helped, equipped, and all the rest. Do you understand that? No matter what it is that you need help with tonight, if you believe the love of God, if you believe the grace of God, you will act on the promise of God and receive that blessing. That is why faith pleases God so much. Because it is through our faith that He is able to get His blessing to us. No other way can it come. If you are not believing God, you are frustrating, I should say, if we are not believing God, we are frustrating the grace of God. We are neutralizing it. And so God might be doing miracles. He'd do a miracle in your next door neighbor's house. He does a miracle in your mother-in-law's home in St. Louis, Missouri. He does a miracle in the church down the street. He does a miracle in the ladies' prayer group. He does a miracle in the life of the brother or sister that's seated next to you. But He does not do a miracle in your life. It's because you have neutralized the grace of God, frustrated it, so that it cannot be appropriated. It can't come to pass for you. Well, the Lord wants us to understand that. He wants us to see that His grace is manifest in so many different ways. His grace is manifest in practical ways to help us. He wants to reach into where we are and touch us where we need help. He really and truly does. Now, each of you have seen the grace of God. Each of you, I'm sure, have been touched by the grace of God. Paul says, did you begin in the Spirit and then think that you would make it perfect in the flesh? It doesn't make any sense. Remember how the grace of God came to you the first time. Remember how God helped you the first time you knew that God was real. Remember that. Remember what you were believing. Remember what was happening at that time. And go back and do the same. Would you bow your heads, please?